When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to you one and all. We are the Agony Uncles. Uncle Si.
Hello.
And Uncle Dave. Hello.
And thanks so much for listening to us, Rabbit On, and for all your brilliant comments that we get through social media. It's always lovely to hear from you. Genuinely, we do love it. It's fab.
Thanks to all of you who have got in touch. People like Laura, who emailed in after Uncle Si asked where people keep their Zaflora. She said... Hello, boys. I'm not usually a fan of podcasts, but oh my God, I do adore yours. And by the way, I love your cookware range as well, available in all good outlets. Oh, yeah. My Zaflora is safely tucked in under the sink, and I recently discovered that they do wipes. How do they make those delicious scents? Oh, they should start a wax melt / candle range. Keep up the good work. Lots of love. Laura.
Oh, I didn't know they made wipes, did you?
Oh, I'm quite excited by that.
I'm really quite excited. Where'd you get the wipes?
I'm not going to find them.
I can have my whole world smelling of lavender. Also, hello, Samantha B, who wrote in and said, tell Si, I've 3 Zaflora spread around my house, but I want to know what is Si's favourite fragrance. Mine is fresh linen. Fresh linen is the spawn of Satan.
What?
I do not like that smell.
Oh,
I like every other smell that they produce other than that.
So what's your favourite?
I like lavender.
That's why your house smells of grandma's.
I know. But, and then when I bake biscuits, it's even I might as well have just retired, you know, because all grandmas smell of lavender and biscuits. And they do they do a rose one as well, which is lovely. I like that one. That's nice. It's good for your floors. Ooh. And then that lemony zesty one, which I can never remember the name of. Lemon zesty for Flora. No, I think it's citrus or something. Oh, nice. Look.
I'm trying the new flavour, Peony Blush.
To what blush?
Peony Blush.
Oh, what you said then.
So did I. I thought it was something to do with, you know, gynecology.
Peony Blush.
Oh, yeah. Pee and flush the flora. You
pee and flush, pee on me and blush. I don't know which one.
I don't know either way. It's working for me though, I tell you. This is great.
I've got to get on board with this Zaflora kick, you know. I'm left behind.
Honestly, dude, it's brilliant, man.
I'm still a bottle of Domestos, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know where you're coming from, bro. I know,
but I need to temper it a bit and move to the 21st century.
It's been going since about... Zaflora's been going since, you know, it's older than water, Zaflora.
And on the Agony Uncles team today, posing the problems as always, is the thin white Duke himself, Mr. Mark Jeeves.
Well, thank you, and lovely to see you. And I feel aggrieved because fresh linen is my favourite. So now, Si and I, there's a wedge driven between us.
Driven. I'll try and give it another go. I used to go out with this girl that used to wear that. I don't know what it was called. Was it linen?
I don't
linen
think you should
something?
Wear Zaflora.
You never know. It's that good. And it was sort of white linen. I don't know who.
Oh, yes, it was a perfume, white linen.
Yeah, white linen. Oh, I hated it.
Oh, it catches in the back of your throat.
It did. And every time you kissed her neck, you just felt like you'd eaten 753,000 bouquets. Oh, it was horrible. I hated it. Anyway, never mind. And bringing a little posh to the proceedings, which, of course, is she is omnipresent everywhere in the world of poshness. It's the rich person's answer to Cathy and Claire from the Jackie magazine. It is our posh dash. Cathy and Claire.
Jackie magazine.
The Jackie.
The Jackie. Wait, it's better. We could have gone Viz. We could have gone Viz. You know. I'm not going to move any further on that one.
Oh, God. Hello, boys. I'm here.
Hello, darling.
Welcome back to the fold. All right. Well, let's get on with fixing the nation.
Oh, God help us.
Si?
Yeah.
Play that jingle, mate.
Playing, dude, playing.
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy jackanory? Because I heard your advice is the best.
In this week's Bucket of Bother, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, you'll be passing judgment on these wondrous worries. We have a creamy problem. We have the birthday balls up. We have he makes such a mess. And in confidential corner, a 38-year-old confession.
Ooh.
A creamy problem kicks us off. This comes from Jeff, who says, Hi, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash. I'm a big fan of the bikers, and at the moment I'm staying in the US, and I'm missing clotted cream. At home, I either buy or make it. The problem I find here in the States is which cream to use. At home, I use a high-fat version such as double cream, and I seem to remember it's important not to use ultra-pasteurised cream too. But when I ask for this in America, I get a look as though I've just landed from Mars. Do you know the right version of American cream I can use to make my clotted cream? Thank you, and I hope to be back in civilization soon.
It's because to the Americans, a bit like the French actually, whipped cream comes in cans. I know in France, I've been trying to do the same thing. You know, you can't get the fat content in the cream. If you start to whip it, it takes you forever and it'll just thicken up a bit, but it won't hold it. It's really funny. I didn't think it was a rare thing, like double cream just whips. But it is. It is. We're quite blessed. Blessed to have that.
If your man looks at milk that is 36% or more, because even the Americans, they may lie about their food labelling and often do, but the Americans are quite good with the milk. It has to be any milk that is, basically, it's 36% fat. That's what he's looking for. And you'll get...
Can you get that in America?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But would that be milk or cream?
It's a bit of both, bro. It's kind of like a heavy milk. That I think, and I think that's what they call it, heavy milk, which means it's a lot. There's a lot of fat in it, as you because if you drink,
you're making this
heavier.
Up.
Yeah, also making it up. Yeah, go and check. I think it's like because heavy cream. No, actually, heavy cream is 36% fat in it, so you want like full fat milk. Just look on the back and see if it's you know can't be that odd.
No, you can't whip up full fat milk. It's never going
to
go anywhere.
He wants to make clotted cream with it, though, doesn't he? So you've got to separate the milk and make the cream to clot it. That's what he's done. He's not.
I'll hang a cheap version. There is a shop in America. I used to live in Canada as well. There are places you go that are just made for English shopping, and they'll have a Rodder's cream in there, won't they? There's someone I'll have. Because when I was in Canada, I worked in a hotel. They loved us for our Englishness.
Doing
and
what?
Well, they're serving scones and cream and jam because they just wanted us to be this.
Oh, sort of English if you were an American and Posh Tash came up to serve you, Scotland, you'd play an extra fiver because A, she's posh, B, she's from the south, and C, what do you put on first, jam or cream?
Oh, I'm a jam girl, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's got to be jam first.
It's got to be jam first.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. The dynamics, well, wait till the lettuce come in. But the dynamics, because the cream sits on the jam nicely. The other way around, the jam just messes the cream up.
I agree. And then you can also put a strawberry on top of the cream. It just looks pretty. I don't know if you're serving. I'm playing off. You have fresh strawberry sliced. It looks much nicer.
Oh.
No, I agree. But I was purely employed to, I literally went in for a job, any job, and they said, we'll dress you up in a perfect chef's outfit, even though I couldn't cook and I was 19, and we just want you to sound English and serve scones and cream. And that's all I had to do. It was brilliant.
Have you still got that outfit?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We, you know,
back to dressing up, Dave, are we?
we'll make the scones.
Yeah, yeah, listen here, it could be a kind of sideline, this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you imagine we can sell Tash at Wimbledon?
Oh, that would be brilliant.
The ultimate experience.
Come and get Harry Bike as Posh Tash to serve your clock. Hey, this could be a pension plan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you'd do. You'd have to be dressed in a giant strawberry costume standing there.
Absolutely.
No. Keep it classy. We're selling scones, not crumpet.
I can tell you what, I can just give you another little story, just so it reminded me now of that thing. When I was working out there, we had this whole party of Americans come up to Canada. We were in Whistler in the Rockies, and they came purely for an English afternoon tea, and then they were going up the mountain to ski. And I was there, and I was serving them, and they just come off their coach. They've driven up from Seattle or from California and come through the border. No aeroplanes involved. And somebody said to me, excuse me, what time is it up the mountain? And I went, 3 o'clock? Because that was the time on my watch at the time down the mountain. And they went, no. What's the time up the mountain? And I went, 3 o'clock. And they thought time changed as you went up in the sky because they'd never been in an aeroplane.
You are kidding me. Yes, that says so much.
Yeah, I think the conclusion to this is, forget it, mate. Just get Tash back out there. Solve all the problems.
Yeah. I'll serve it anyway. I'll whip anything up.
Just come home, Jeff. It's all good here.
Yes, it isn't, Jeff. Stay exactly where you are.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, are you mad? Yes, you're taking leave of your senses.
Yes, gone mad. Sorry. Ignore last comment.
Food makes everything better.
Our next problem is called the birthday balls up. And this comes from Matt. Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, I am confused. My partner, Laura, and I have been together for a year. We met just after her birthday last year, so it was her first birthday for us together recently. We're both in our mid-30s, but this is actually also my first long-term relationship. So I took some advice and asked her what she'd like for her birthday. She said to me that she didn't really need anything, so just a nice dinner or something like that. Come her birthday, I took her to a nice restaurant, made sure there was a card, some flowers. We had a lovely evening, and after I drove her home, I wasn't staying over as she had an early start, we got to her place and she just sat in the car looking at me. And when I said, what are you doing? She said, waiting for my present. I explained that when I asked, she'd told me that she didn't need anything, so I hadn't got anything. This sparked a long row. A few days of very terse text messages, and the last thing she said on the matter was she doesn't think she could ever forgive me for what I did. The only trouble is, I don't know what I did. Help, says Matt. Over to you.
Well, she obviously wanted a birthday present. She didn't really mean she
didn't need
anything.
You complete numbnut, Matt. No. When women say that they don't actually need anything, it is the polar opposite to actually what they are thinking. This is the fundamental difference between the species.
Yeah, when they say don't bother with birthdays, that means they really do bother with birthdays.
And they actually last a week.
The dinner is only an opportunity in which to unveil that said present.
Yes, indeed. You see. Yes. So no wonder she couldn't forgive you, you thick urchin. What are you like?
You're right, because there's a very different thing between needing. We don't need anything else.
No.
But we always want something else. There's
exactly.
A difference.
That is fundamentally and quintessentially it in a posh tash nutshell. What we have here is a male mindset and a female mindset. What you, the other thing that you've missed as well, Matt, which is absolutely quintessentially important, as will Dave testify to, what they need and what they want are two different things, as Tasha just pointed out. But the bit in the middle is what you have to think about is what they actually want that they're saying that they don't need.
But do you think English women are harder work like this? You see, like, my wife's Eastern European. She tells it how it is. So what do you want for your birthday, love? Shoes. You know, there's no, you know, there's no messing about, you know.
Can I just point out you're making us sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger again?
No, but do you think there's something that it's
shoes.
It's an etiquette that's a game that people play. You know, no, I simply couldn't. Go on then, just have the one.
It's so true. We're too damn polite in England, I think, and Britain. We're so, don't, no, sorry. Oh, it was me. We all know what we want to really say, but we just don't say it.
Then you get really humpy if we don't read the signals.
No, I agree totally. And you know what? I'm laughing because it's so true. And I'm guilty of it too. You say one thing, you mean another. But when it comes to thinking about birthday presents, like clearly Lil's brilliant. She knows what she wants. She says it. You'd rather get that than a disappointing present. However, I am so overthinking about everything for everybody else. I just want someone to think about me and what I might like for once. Because if you tell them, that means you've had to think about it again. I would like someone else to do thinking. Go out and go, what would she like? And then that means so much more. And if it ends up being a packet of polos, I'm still thrilled because I might love polos. But they thought about it, not me.
You're just saying that about the polos. I know. So, Kingy, right, you're buying Tash a birthday present on this. What would you buy her to make her happy? Because she only wants a tube of polos.
Right. So I could see that I've been at an effort. I would have gone to a retro sweet shop and bought her a bottle, a packet of Spangles, just to bring her back to, like, you know, when she was younger.
And, look at him.
Yeah. See, I've thought about that. You know, that's all they want, and a diamond.
I was waiting for.
But that'd be too forward, wouldn't it, really? You see, what I would do is, by giving the thing away about the polos, it's just into confectionery. So if you're on the pull, I'd probably go to Charbonnel and Walker, you know, the Queen's Chocolatiers, and bring her a nice box of champagne truffles or something, and just go,
you're doing well, but still diamonds.
I see.
So, right, okay. In the middle of the Spangles, like, tube, I'd have put a diamond.
Ah, better.
Absolute bullshit. There's absolutely no way you're getting... A, I haven't slept with you. B, we've not even been out to dinner. And C, we're not in love with each other. So, and listen, it took me 20 years to buy Jane a first diamond, to tell you.
It's such a tough one. I do feel for him. I'm really on his side on this story, because I really feel for him, because she threw it out there. Please don't worry about it. He put some effort in. He cooked her dinner. He bought her flowers. He tried and did something, and then he got bollocks for it. And I really feel for him, because that was her screw up there. I really do see that.
Yeah, fair enough, Matt. We'll let you off. I think you're a dumper.
I think you might be right. It sounds too much like hard work, really.
Yeah, exactly. See, I'm with you.
This is going to happen twice a year, Christmas and birthdays, isn't it?
And Easter.
Well, that's easy. Just chuck her an egg.
Oh, yeah.
Diamond in.
Hey?
With a diamond inside.
Egg with a diamond. A Fabergé egg. Yes, that's right.
If you've got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the agony uncles a line.
Our next problem is called He Makes Such a Mess. And this comes... Well... It comes from Gary, but we'd like to change the name of Gary's partner, a male name, please, Poshtash, simply so that I can see you squirm, because you don't like choosing names. So a male name, please.
I'm just going to go for Jack.
Jack. This is Jack. Gary writes to us about his partner, Jack. Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Poshtash, your advice, please, on a kitchen issue.
Yes.
My partner, Jack, loves your recipes and cooks them all the time, his fave being your steak and ale pie from the Go North show.
Good old Jack, good on you, son.
Jack loves to cook, so the deal is he makes the food and I wash up. However, I want to know whether your recipes usually result in a complete redecoration of the kitchen.
Not normally.
You see, not only does Jack seem to use every single pot, pan and utensil that we own, but he also covers every work surface in flour, gravy, beer, potato peelings, you name it. I dread going in there when he's finished, because it really does look like the Luftwaffe have just been through. I can only imagine that you must have an army of small hairy gnomes following you around, cleaning up after you, or is Jack missing a trick here? My washing up hands would appreciate your advice. And that comes from Gary. Over to you.
Okay. You have to clear up as you go. So when you've done your potato peelings, you take them off, you put them in your compost bin or wherever you want to put them. Just tidy up as you go. And then there'll still be a little bit of a mess at the end, but it's less for you to clear up, you see. You just introduce it to him by actually physically going and doing it while he's cooking. Because that'll irritate Jack no end. And say, I'm doing this now because at the end, it doesn't look like somebody's bombed our kitchen.
I've had to learn to clear up as I go, because I had this arrangement with Lil that if I did the cooking, I think it's fair that she does the washing up. Compared to the fact we've got two dishwashers, so the washing up isn't exactly a martial art, you know, it's just put it in a box. But no, I got such grief if I leave a mess. That it become untenable, really. So I've had to learn to clear up as I go. Because, of course, on the telly, we do have people who clear up after us. You know, we do our bit, and then, you know, it's take five lads while we clear up. All right, then we go and have a cup of tea. It's a life of leisure, you know. At home, it's different. No, clear as you go, I agree, Kingy. But mine is only because I have to.
I'm suggesting, what about to maybe train that even though Jack's doing the cooking... is it Gary? Gary needs to suggest that on this occasion, Jack should potentially clean up himself. And then he might work out how much mess he makes and maybe then be more considerate when he cooks next time to go, sorry, I didn't realise what mess I did make. It's very easy to make a mess if you're not clearing it up. You don't really care, do you?
Yeah, no, I think you should appreciate Jack more, actually.
Really?
Wait, why?
Yeah, of course. If like, that pie is going to take Jack, what, a couple of hours to put together. Yeah. So therefore, even if the kitchen is a bit of a mess, it's going to take you more than half an hour to clean up, is it?
Well, yeah, but I know, but you could just, like, you could do it together at certain points in the recipe. You go, because there's always a point in the recipe where you move on to something else. So what you could do is just kind of, you go in, instead of leaving it all to the end, just tidy up as he goes. You know, there's a balance.
Yeah.
Do you think Jack should just go, Gary, you're on now. I've stopped for a bit. Do you think he'd take that badly?
I think there'd be a cricket bat involved.
You know, I was thinking actually the other day that I enjoy cooking. I'm nothing like you guys. But I'm the only one that does it in the house. Just my husband's not a cook. It's not his thing. But I realised how lucky you two are to be able to cook together. Because when someone does come into the kitchen, be it my daughter or my sister, and we do start cooking together, there's so much more fun in it. And there also can be so much more fun in clearing up together. A, the job gets done twice as quickly. But B, you just don't feel like you're alone in the chore. So maybe there's a conversation to be had, you know, about jacking it all together.
Well, you've just given the game away there, because you've just said that you're not alone in the chore. The difference between Dave and I and you, Posh Dash, is that we never think that cooking is a chore.
Oh, not the cooking, the clearing up's a chore.
Oh, the clearing up's a chore, don't
you? You like the cooking, not the clearing up.
I don't mind clearing up, because I mean, it's only when I'm really hungover, or particularly when me and Dave's been cooking together, and we've had a few too many glasses of wine while testing recipes, that we kind of leave it till the following morning.
Yeah, but that's horrible.
That's horrible. I always like getting it clean and tidy, so we're up for breakfast in the morning and it's all nice.
Yeah, because there is that thing when we do cook together and we're not on the telly, then we don't have anybody to clear up after ourselves.
Yeah, but we still do.
Yeah, we put it in a machine. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, like. You
know, I mean, I wouldn't. I wonder. Have they got a dishwasher?
Well, yeah, it's Gary.
I mean, I couldn't live without mine.
Isn't it? It's Gary.
There is nothing worse than when when you poured flour out and it's slightly redecorated the back of the splashback, or you know, you've got the butter knife and the butter knife's then fallen on the surface. There's all that extra washing up that just makes it grubby rather than just chucking stuff in a dishwasher.
Hey, I wonder if you can get Suflora washing up liquid.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, I mean, look, if a fairy can do it, Suflora can't they?
Yeah. Now we're doing product development here, hang on.
Oh, yeah. I know, but I would buy it if it was eco-friendly, you know.
Yeah, why not? You'll have it cooking with it next. You'll have a recipe in the next book. The flora
pastry.
Well, we've got enough recipes with rose water. It wouldn't make much difference.
Why, exactly?
Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk. Just send an email to the Agony Uncles.
Your next problem is called a 38-year-old confession, and we need a male name. Posh Tash, would you like to supply a man's name, please?
Colin.
Colin. Oh, Colin's a fine name, not used very much anymore. Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, my problem is related to something I did 38 years ago. I was 20. It is a long time. I was 20 at the time. My dad had just taken delivery of his new company car, a beige Vauxhall Cavalier, but the SRI version.
Oh.
It was super sexy, and I wasn't allowed anywhere near it. Weekend, he took my mum by train to York for the weekend. I stayed at home with two strict instructions. Number one, no parties. Number two, don't touch the car. Well, I didn't have any parties, but I did touch the car. I picked up my girlfriend, who was very impressed, and took her out cruising round the local streets. Nothing happened while I was in the car. I dropped my girlfriend off, then drove home, and neatly parked it on our drive. I didn't put the handbrake on, though. As I walked to the front door, I saw something move out the corner of my eye, and the car rolled off our drive, over the road, and straight into the car of the bloke who lived opposite. It didn't smash into it, it just bumped into it, but it did dent the shiny rear bumper of both cars. I put the car back on the drive, the neighbours weren't around, it was late at night, and I decided to front it out. On my dad's return, he immediately noticed it and went for me. I explained that I was out last night. Dad, not in your car, obviously. Perhaps someone reversed into it. Dad investigated, spotted the neighbour's car with the corresponding dent and damage about the same, and the same colour paint from Dad's car on his. Since that day, Dad has blanked that neighbour, who still lives there. He was going to go and have it out with him at the time, but, and I'd sort of banked on this, my mum wouldn't let him. Instead, he just cut that neighbour off from all communication to this day. My problem is this. Every time we talk about cars, that story comes up. Dad always tells of how the neighbour reversed into his car and didn't have the decency to tell him. And every time he tells this story, I feel a pang. Should I reveal all? Asks Colin.
Spill, Col. Spill your guts. Absolutely. Because they could have been great friends. You've spoiled a relationship. It's shocking behaviour. You cowardly custard chicken shit. You're now 58 years of age and you still haven't got the courage to go and tell him. You are a wimp.
Yeah, I agree. Just get it off your chest. Confess. It's the easiest way.
Definitely.
You know, yeah, it's terrible, isn't it, really? Remember when I was a kid, I used to kind of... We were living in a terrace house, so I used to try and throw rocks and get it over the roof. Anyway, I threw a rock and it went straight through my bedroom window. I was only about kind of 9, 10. Anyway, I thought, oh God, I broke the window, what am I going to do? So I contrived a plan. Right, so when it got about 10 o'clock at night, I'd been in bed, I took a piece of coal with me. So anyway, I scratched my forehead with the coal a little bit, covered myself in coal. Screamed, ah, 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 there's some big lads in the back street, they've thrown coal through my window. Anyway, so my dad went downstairs with a frying pan and there was nobody in the back street. And anyway, oh, they're cleaning my head up and everything. Honestly, I felt so guilty. I still feel guilty now. And this is like 50 years later. I wish I'd got it off my chest then.
You never mentioned it ever again, Dave.
No, no, no. But I can remember that moment when I'm laying in my bedroom, wondering how far I go. Could I actually draw blood with a piece of coal on my forehead? Obviously not.
Hey, you really thought it through.
Oh, I did, yes. I was a conniving little devil. But these days, oh, God, you know me, King. I couldn't lie to save me teeth.
He's
you know,
crowded.
Lil says, oh, I'm terrible. No, if absolutely. I ever do, no, I'd stick my hands up all the time.
I agree with you. I don't want to do the lying thing. And yes, you come clean, but you come clean straight away. You take, you face it, and you do it. He's now all those years down the line, and, you know, no one got hurt, nothing happened, so they lost some neighbours. I agree, at the time, you should have handled it. But right now, if his dad then finds out he lied all that time, his dad's going to go, oh, my God, what else have you lied about? What else have you done? It may open up a whole can of worms, a whole family argument that really was over a bumper and the car. I feel it could be dangerous waters now. I would have handled it at the time. Don't lie at the time. But now, maybe not.
Yeah, well, you might laugh at it because the car that would be sold and gone and buried, you know, it's ridiculous.
Maybe.
You know, it's something just say, hey, you know, your car, Dad, it would be. And I think you might find it quite funny.
I would find it laugh. I'd go, you little shit. I've blanked that bloke from over the road. He doesn't know why I dislike him. B, it's your fault. Go over the road this minute and tell the old fella that lives there that actually I want to be his mate. Yeah. No.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you two are really nice. I think you two would laugh it off. Just what if the dad doesn't?
Well, yeah, but you can't live your life by what if, can you?
Well, you pass responsibility over, haven't you? Somebody gave me a piece of advice once that it's good. If you do something wrong that you genuinely are sorry about, apologise once and mean it.
Yeah.
The worst thing you do is keep on apologising because that compounds it. But if you apologise once and mean it, you've kind of thrown the motivation over to the other person then. If you go on about it and on, then you're inviting it all the time. But really, apologise once and mean it. Leave it to the other person.
And do it straight away. You know what? Put your hands up. I'm sorry. I screwed up. I did it wrong. I'm sorry. And take your punishment there and then. Because actually living with the guilt doesn't help, does it?
No.
Nah.
And actually, to be fair, if his dad knew his son, I would have taken the car keys with me. I never listened to anything anybody ever told me. So. I was like, don't touch that. Yeah, right. It was like, so, yeah, no. I remember Alex once. My eldest son, he went, of course, did you? We were having a dinner party at the house, and I said to Jean, where's he gone? And she went, oh, I think he's just gone out with mates. I said, gone out with mates? He's gone out in the car, hasn't he? And she went, no, I told him he couldn't go out in the car. So anyway, I goes, has a look in the drive, car's not there. I went, you little shit. So I rang him up and I said, you've got 15 minutes to get the car back here or otherwise I'm going to report it's stolen. And he went, you wouldn't, I know stuff about you, Dad, I know stuff about you. I goes, yeah, not as much as I know about you, you little shit. Get the car back here in 15 minutes or I'm ringing the coppers. And he was like, you wouldn't. And I went, you know I would. And he was, sure enough, 20 minutes later, car's there, parking keys are where they should be. And he got the bus into town, little sod.
Good grief, this is like a page out of Viz. An everyday story of Geordie family life. You meant the bacons look respectable, you know.
You know, I forgot it. He goes, you would have, wouldn't you? You would have. You would have. Still talks about it a day. I said, yeah, too bloody right, I would have. I told you not to do it.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for listening, and to all of you who have sent in your troubles, thanks for trusting us, the Agony Uncles, with your problems.
Send in your questions and problems to agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. Honestly, guys, we absolutely love to hear from you, and we will try to help with your traumas where possible, given the circumstances.
And remember to follow this podcast so that a new one pops into your life every Friday morning. It's a great way to kick off your weekend.
So, from Posh Tash.
Bye.
The Thin White Duke.
Goodbye.
Your Uncle Dave.
Bye-bye.
And me. Bye-bye. Goodbye. Be safe. Have a good week.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the ageing process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.